This is Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra.
You're listening to ABC Radio Canberra. I'm Jonathan Gull, filling in for Paula Kruger this week as she takes a much-deserved break. Now, during the COVID-19 restrictions, the Afternoons program has been talking about practical things you can do to boost your mental health. The latest outbreak of coronavirus cases in Melbourne has heightened anxiety and has seen some restrictions tightened to prevent further spread of the virus. Now, Kirsten Peterson is the former head of performance psychology at the AIS and now operates Kirsten Peterson Consulting, specialising in getting the best from people under pressure. I spoke with Kirsten earlier and asked her to give an overview of what she thought it was most important to talk about today in the current climate.
You know, it has struck me that in these times, gosh, we're just in times of perpetual uncertainty, that one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves these days is the gift of being a bit kinder to ourselves, which sounds schmaltzy, but yet is harder to do than many of us imagine.
What do you mean by be kinder to ourselves? I guess, what are some of the practical things that people can do to be kinder to themselves and not put themselves under so much pressure?
Well, I think the first step is to be aware of how we treat ourselves relative to, say, how we treat others. So it's really easy to recognize when somebody else is hurting. Say it's a child who is crying. Our first instinct, hopefully, if we are generally compassionate human beings, is to go perhaps give the child a cuddle and to soothe them before we worry about what maybe the issue is. It's kind of like, let me be with you. As we say, if we're thinking about being compassionate, compassion meaning I'm suffering with you. I'm not necessarily trying to solve something for you. I'm just here to comfort you. And yet, what I find for us, when we turn that whole idea inward, we don't necessarily even consider it as an option for ourselves. And sometimes it's like, well, I don't deserve that. And so I don't do it. And then what I find people doing is, even when they're well-meaning and want to help themselves through a tough time, they shift immediately into problem solving. What can I do to fix this thing that is causing me to suffer? Say I made a mistake at work. Okay, how do I fix the mistake? Without really addressing the fact that underneath that mistake, gosh, we feel bad that we made that mistake. And maybe we're struggling a little bit with some self-recrimination and we don't stop and go, gosh, that was hard. I sure didn't mean to do that. And let me just be here and recognize this is hard for me right now. And that step I think we miss sometimes.
Why do you think we forget to be kind to ourselves? Is it a matter of we're so busy that, as you say, we go straight into that problem-solving routine? Or is it hard work to remember to take time for that self-care?
I don't know that we've ever learned, to be honest. You know, like if it was just a matter of remembering, oh, be nice to myself, maybe I would do it. But I think for many of us, our default is that if we're nice to ourselves, we might lose our edge, or we can't be nice to ourselves because it's going to somehow mean we're soft. And that if we make a mistake, we want to hold ourselves accountable. In a way, though, I will take pains to point out to anybody I'm working with, we do not do to other people. But I just don't think we have learned. I think about when you grew up, did you ever have anyone tell you when you were a little kid, take time out, soothe yourself before you problem solve? You know, when were we ever taught this? And so I think part of it is that we just don't know.
What are some, you touched on it briefly before, but what are some of those tips that we can follow for being nicer to ourselves, especially in, as you mentioned, stressful times like the ones we're living in, that 2020 by any measure has been extraordinarily stressful. What are some of those tips that we can take away to be nicer to ourselves and make it a little bit easier?
So you'll notice, like, I'm kind of setting this in the context of when we make a mistake or something has happened to us that we're already suffering. That's kind of the context I'm in, because it can be as easy as, are we making sure that we are taking time to recover? But, you know, I'm not necessarily saying eat more chocolate, which some people may say, oh, if I take care of myself, you know, I go to a spa, you know, or do something really nice to myself. But let's remember that whatever we choose to do to take care of ourselves in my view, we want to do it mindfully in the sense that we want it to be also healthy for us. So if it's just general self-care, which I absolutely think is so important and we tend to neglect in a more general sense, it is doing so, again, with an eye on health. So if I'm looking to say after a tough day, work's been crazy because of all this uncertainty, I come home and I open a bottle of wine thinking I'm going to treat myself and suddenly the bottle's gone, that would be an example of mindless self-care that might end up morphing into something that's not so good. So it's really just being aware. What do I need right now? But then in the more specific situation where, say, I make a mistake and I start to punish myself for that mistake, and I would argue that even if the mistake is ours, it's our omission or our sin of commission, there is no mistake so egregious or so serious that we don't owe ourselves a moment to support ourselves in the fact that I sure didn't mean to do that. Oh, and I want to just take a moment to recognize that I am suffering because I made a mistake that I didn't intend. And how do I sort of stop and do that?
We're speaking with Kirsten Peterson, Canberra psychologist, about being kinder to ourselves and a bit of self-care as well. I also wanted to talk about negative self-talk. I guess, how do you recognise negative self-talk? And is it something that absolutely has to be prevented at all costs?
So, it's very related to what we were just talking about. Often we increase our own suffering after a mistake because of the things we say to ourselves. And, we want to really get down on ourselves. I will acknowledge that for some of us, it's even hard to recognize because it's become such a pattern and such a habit that we don't at first start to notice. So the first step is actually paying attention to what is being said. When I'm suffering in some way, say I'm feeling a bit down or a bit anxious, I want to check in with what the thoughts going through my head, and just so I know that maybe some of what I'm saying to myself is not helping me. But I will say that it's not about controlling or preventing. We do not control our minds in that way. Our minds are just thinking machines, and so they're pumping out a ton of thoughts every day. And it's up to us, though. We get to choose which ones we buy into and which ones we might think, that's not so useful to me right now, and I'm going to step away and actually, do something else or talk with somebody else as a way to not necessarily stop the thought, but to step away from it, if that makes sense. We have an ability, I guess what I really want to say is we are not our thoughts.
Mm.
And we have the ability, we're the only species on the planet that can step away from our stream of thinking and observe, wow, my mind is going a little crazy right now, and wow, I'm really getting down on myself right now, how interesting, as opposed to I'm getting really down on myself and I got to buy into everything my mind is handing me like right now, which tends to be, I'll never succeed again or,
those extremely negative thoughts that we've all had, and you don't necessarily, as you say, have to buy into them. Is this something that you've seen more of as this year in particular has gotten more stressful? Is it something that you've noticed more in the last however many months?
I wouldn't say qualitatively more negative, but I do see a sense of, because of uncertainty, our brains are wired to detect threat. And because we don't have surety, we don't have certainty, which is what our minds really crave. And I want to know how to sort of plan my day. I want to know what my future looks like. Right now, even though regular life is getting more fast paced, right now, overlay the pandemic, if it's a fog bank we're looking out, in the future, because who knows, second wave of virus is just coming, we don't know, but we stare out into it trying to make sense of it. And I want to know that we can go back out and be, back to quote unquote normal life. And oh my gosh, another wave means more uncertainty. And we have that sense of hypervigilance and worry, which I do see us engaging in more because of the uncertainty of the moment.
And do you also see, I know, for example, social media provides usually a relatively broad snapshot of what people are thinking and how they are feeling. And there seems to be an undercurrent of fear as well, and how that manifests when people talk about the potential of a second wave and what's being done to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Is it also important, I guess, to make sure that we don't go to those very dark places of fear and that fear yeah. manifesting into anger as well?
Well, yeah. So let's just go with fear first, which to me is very tightly wound up in the hypervigilance. We are vigilant because we're fearful. We are vigilant because we want to protect ourselves against who knows what. And so it is a fear response, which, you know, in many times in our evolutionary history served us well. You know, if you were looking out into the wild and saw a saber-toothed tiger coming, that fear served you to run away or defend yourself. But boy, a pandemic is a whole nother beast here. And so fear doesn't really serve us. We kind of have to relax and be gently ready for what the next thing is. Much less, I think what happens is if our expectations are too rigid around how things are supposed to go and they don't go our way, which you see in various parts of the world with, you know, I'm sick and tired of, you know, being told that I have to wear a mask or that we can't go here and we can't go there. And I'm angry about it and I'm going to just protest about it or I'm going to do the opposite of what you're telling me. You know, I would argue gently that that's probably not in our world's interest either. So, like, recognizing when hypervigilance isn't so useful and anger or a rigid set of expectations is not serving ourselves personally, because it's certainly not fun to be angry and scared all the time, but it's also not serving our common humanity at all, because we're not also thinking about each other and how we're going to take care of each other through this.
And it is all about taking care of each other and ourselves. That was Kirsten Peterson, Canberra psychologist, speaking about self-care in the times of COVID.